This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. Yeah. Luke, were you just dancing to the beat of my introduction?
I was. Your voice was giving me tunes internally, which is my line. Tunes. Tunes.
Now,
wow!
Happy birthday, Luke.
What a way to start. Happy birthday to you, Elliot.
It's been a fun time here in the Joy Studios because Checkpoint has turned 6 years old.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you haven't heard it yet, go back, listen through our podcast. The most recent uploaded podcast before this one is our birthday trivia extravaganza.
Yeah, I love this time of year. I love putting trivia together for you all. It's so fun going back and hearing all these like fantastic sound effects and soundtracks and characters and kind of jolting the memories of everybody. It's a really fun episode. And I love doing it. It's a great way to celebrate like another year of what we do.
And I really liked participating in it as well. It was really fun. I was obviously much better at the sound effect questions than I was at most of the other portions of the game.
There were definitely parts that I knew you would do really well at. I was like, oh, this is an Elliot question, but I need to include it because it is iconic, you know?
Yeah, I think that's bound to happen, though. When I do my yearly rewind trivia at the end of the year, look forward to that.
Yeah.
I am always aware of this question is leaning heavier to this person, you just try to balance it out because some franchises are just gonna be more relevant to one person than the other. If I didn't get that like Half-Life question or the Deep Rock Galactic question, like it would have been criminal.
I know, but I just had to include them because they're such great representations of games today, you know. So, no, well done. You came second, though, I will say. Edie trumped you in the end.
Yeah, are you aware that Edie also won my Trivia Rewind Extravaganza last year? So she's the current reigning of both trivia tournaments.
That's a first. She's a dark horse, that Edie. I know. Yeah, she just has this weird memory bank of like video game songs.
It's always meme-worthy, though.
I know when I play something, I see her dancing to it instantly. I'm like, oh no.
It's like, of course she knew the freaking Donkey Kong 64 song and the Conker's Bad Fur Day song.
Because I wouldn't have, to be honest. I would have been like, I know what this is, but I wouldn't have known the lyrics for it.
Yeah.
You know? Or like, how you beat that boss in Conker's Bad Fur Day. Anyway, listen to the trivia if you haven't. It is really funny.
This is all relevant, by the way. We're not just rambling because we do want to do like a bit usual. Of a retrospective, a 6 year retrospective of Checkpoint as an entirety. Which is crazy, and I don't know how long y'all as listeners... Y'all. I'm like a hick now.
You are.
I don't know how long you guys is...
No, y'all's good. Y'all's inclusive.
I don't know how much y'all have listened to Checkpoint as a whole. I'm sure some of you have been fans for years. Some of you will be much more recent fans of the show. But either way, thank you for being along this journey. I myself have been part of the Checkpoint team for 4 years now, probably a bit over that. It's been a crazy roller coaster and so much fun, and I'm so glad I'm so heavily involved with Checkpoint right now as it stands. And obviously, Luke, you started this whole thing 6 years ago. Where did it start?
It's funny, you know, I joined Joy doing a different show. I was doing a bear show called The Woods, because previous to that I was part of the bear community. I was vice president of Vic Bears,
and you're still part of the bear community, right? Not maybe as much.
So I go to events and I'm part of, I'm friends with these people, but I'm not actively in the community in terms of running the show or anything. I used to be part of the committee and coming up with events and helping organize and host and things like that.
Committee of Bears.
Yeah. And so from that, there was no bear show on Joy. And there's other shows that handle all sorts of different communities and fetishes and things. And me and a friend of mine, Mark, at the time, were like, let's do a bear show. So joined Joy, did the training, started the bear show. After a few months, I noticed on the Joy grid of all the different programs that are on Joy, there was no video game show, right? There was a sci-fi geek show, and they did a video game segment once every like few weeks, like a 5-minute segment, right?
Which
and
is criminally underrepresenting the video game space.
Yeah, but I mean, they were a great show. They did things from
awful.
No, awful. They did things from a geek, overall geek spectrum, right? But video games was a part of it, not the main focus. And I'm like, man, this industry, it's huge. The video game industry is massive. It's growing. It's this billion dollar industry. People love it. All ages are into it. It's huge. This needs its own show. And of course, I love video games. They're my favorite thing in the world, the thing I spend the most time doing. So I pitched the show. At the time, it was Critical Hit. And Joy approved my application.
Sorry, are you saying it was a critical hit? Or
no, the show was called Critical Hit. It was a critical hit as well. And essentially, they approved it straight away because I'd put the hard yards in doing this bear show at 11 p.m. on a Monday night, proving my skills and stuff. And they said, yeah, do a game show. So at the time, I didn't know anybody else at Joy that knew video games like I did. And through the grapevine, someone at Joy who was doing the show for the Lost Dogs Home. It was called Pets Allowed. His name's Kevin. And he heard through the grapevine that this guy, Luke, was new around the place and doing a video game show. And he was like, oh, I also love video games. I'd love to do a video game show. So he reached out to me. I didn't know who he was.
Were you planning to do this show solo?
I didn't know. I sort of had the idea of doing it solo. I did
do
a couple of...
Wow, what an undertaking that would have been.
Well, I had the idea of getting guests on, right? And kind of running it every week with different guests. And I did have for my practice shows that were on late at night as what was called, I think, Taste of Radio. That was a radio course. Anyway, we had this late night slot where they put trainees on to test out shows, right?
Right.
And it was me and Ronnie. Remember Ronnie?
Yeah, yeah.
So Ronnie was part of Checkpoint right at the start for a few years.
But he's not even queer, is he?
He's the most queer-friendly non-queer that I know.
An amazing ally.
So he might not... I think he identifies as queer, possibly, actually. I'm not sure.
Okay, all right. Ask him, but I'm not going to... Yeah.
No. Anyway, huge ally, if nothing else. Probably a bit queer, though. And so we did the first couple. Anyway, Kevin said, I'd love to do this with you. I'd love to meet you. We went for a coffee, got on really, really well. And that was that. All of a sudden, it was me and Kevin doing Critical Hit. And then we brought on some other ring-ins over the weeks through the Melbourne Gamers, GAYMERS, community group. And that's where we met folks like Archer, Megan, Vivian, bunch Finley. Of others. Finn. Oh, what a great dude. Like, and we all just built this little group. And then, and even like Jacob eventually. And it just became this big group of us, queers every week. And it became like, from a couple of us just reminiscing about Mario Brothers and our childhoods, to like, let's do a news segment. There needs to be news in this show. This is a big industry. Ah, I wonder if we could do reviews. I wonder if publishers would support us and give us games that we could talk about. I wonder if we could actually go deeper and do interviews with proper industry folk, you know? And so it kind of was a bit of a dream. And then it sort of evolved from there. I went to the EB Games Expo up in Brisbane at the time, I think it was. Or it was in Sydney that year. I can't remember. But I went to Sydney for that. And I walked around with my little homemade business cards. I went to every booth and I said, hi, I'm Luke. I do this video game radio show. We just started. I would love your support. And I'm walking up to like people at Bethesda and PlayStation and Nintendo and Xbox. I'm a freaking nobody, basically. And most of them were really receptive and they were really friendly. And they said, like, yeah, like, we'd love to support your show. Like, what do you need? What do you want? And I just explained what we are. And the queer element is obviously our heart and soul, is that we're a queer show. There's not many queer video game publications out there. And if there are, they're certainly not broadcasting on radio to this large audience.
We're definitely very unique here, having the radio show. Like, how many freaking radio show video game shows are there?
There's not many. And then you add the queer element. It's like, crap, we're like a unicorn, you know? It's like a sexy unicorn. And so people were like, wow, queer audience, big audience. Cool, let's give it a go. And before I knew it, you know, I was really stoked with how supportive certain publishers were at the time. You know, shout out to a couple that really instantly supported us with games without any hesitation, which is like your Bethesda, Nintendo, Xbox, They all came on board eventually, but they're the ones that stand out as, like, they heard about me, they liked me, they said, yeah, let's do this. And they just supported us without question, even though we were just starting out and hadn't reviewed anything before. We were, like, brand spanking new.
Yeah. And it's very hard to pitch yourself as a radio show sometimes because, you know, if you're a gaming website or a streamer or whatever, you're like, hey, we get this X many viewers or whatever. And your radio show, a community radio show, it's like, according to the most recent on-air survey, which was extrapolated the data to a broader... And it's like, yeah, we get it. You don't really know.
And I know what? I didn't even have stats at the time.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, oh, how many listeners do you get? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think Joy gets around 300,000. I had no clue. I was pulling numbers out. I was like, I think we're pretty good. But, you know, I think it's actually the Australian games industry is pretty good when there's a new kid in town. You know, I did feel like there were my peers who gave me advice and supported me, people that I've met over the years in the gaming space as well.
Yeah, and you weren't new to video games at that point.
No, I'd helped run a gaming site back in the day called PALGN, which closed down about a year after I left, unrelated. but, you know, they had some problems at the end of the day. But I had some people I knew, and so I'd been through this before. And now I work in PR as well. So I did sort of know how to sell myself and how to sell the show and pitch it in that sense. But yeah, it evolved, you know. And then, you know, about 2 years in, we changed the name to Checkpoint. And it was around that time we launched the website. So the website was pretty much, we have so much great ideas and great content, and you can't possibly capture this in a 1 hour show every week. And when you take the ads out, it's like a 50 minute show.
Mm-hmm.
If you play a song, it's like a 40 minute show. So, you know, we had this limited time to go, here's the news, here's what's happening, here's a topic, bye, and like get out of there. There's so much happening, you know that. Everyone listening to this show knows that.
Yeah, of course.
It's packed with news all the time.
That's why we do a freaking third recording of Intimates every single week, because it's like, well, there's more we want to talk about.
Yeah, and so we started the website and rebranded this Checkpoint, and that's when I brought you on board at the time. We wanted to get some new blood, some new
writers. I feel like our paths were always destined to cross.
Oh, because it's funny, very fate entwined.
Well, okay, so earlier you were listing off a bunch of the early contributors and the people who joined your team. And it's so funny because the vast majority of those people I was already friends with and knew of, like well before I even knew what Checkpoint was. I knew Kevin really well. I knew Archer. I knew Vivian. I knew Finley. I knew Jacob. I knew the team before I even knew that they all worked on a project called Checkpoint.
Yeah.
And eventually, the only person I didn't really know was you, Luke.
Yeah, the guy running it.
So eventually I had to send out this like tentative email, being like, hi, my name's Elliot. I've done a Bachelor of Communications and I like video games.
You like applied. It was really sweet. No, but I remember because it's funny, you know, we're all volunteers. I think that's the thing that people still don't even know about us, is that we are volunteers and everything we do is unpaid. The writing, the show, the podcasts, social media management.
We do it because we love it.
Yeah, we do it because we love it.
Yep.
These are all things that people get paid full-time jobs to do for other companies.
Yeah,
and we're doing it for the love. And, you know, at the very start, when you joined, you were like a friggin' star. You were, like, smashing out articles all the time. You were chomping at the bit for reviews. You were excited. You earned your stripes, but then also more than proved yourself and wanted to help out above and beyond. I knew straight away that you were going to be in the spot you are now, where you're help me run.
Luke.
You can just tell you're, like, a go-getter, you know? And
so sprightly.
Yeah. And everyone.
Look at me now, decrepit.
Yeah.
Of age.
You're so old. Like, you're the oldest person I've ever known in the world. And, you know, not everyone has the time to dedicate to a volunteer role like this on a regular basis. And I understand that. Everyone's different. Everyone's got lives and partners and jobs and pets and all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, I think when the website launched and then we got increased to 2 hours instead of 1 hour, that was really cool to say we've got a 2 hour show now. It upped our workload, but it also gave us a lot more of a platform.
Sure. But I think also it allowed us to have what I believe, because I was there for the 1 hour show too. And I think the actual tone of the show and the flow of it improved dramatically once we were 2 hours, because it always felt like such a rush. It was like, we need to talk about all of these things and we somehow have to do it in an hour.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we could do it if we needed to, but
we did,
like,
for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But like, once you factor in the fact that, hey, we've got these games that have to be reviewed and talked about on air, we obviously have to play our normal segments, and these news stories need to be talked. It's like, all of a sudden, it's like, you've got no time.
You certainly can't dive deep into a conversation or an interview or a topic, you know, and so many topics that we choose, you know, they do have so much discussion involved, you know, yeah. because the games industry has been around for such a long time now. So when you're talking about a topic, it's never just a new thing that's happened this week. It's always this 30 or 40 year history that we can go into as to why this matters. And when we have guests on the show, especially diverse guests too, which is so important, we want to go deep with them too. We want to know their story. We don't want to have like a 10-minute talk about your game, thanks, bye. We want to yeah. know, like, where you came from. Why is this important? Why are you diverse? Why is your game diverse? And go through these deep things. And you just can't do that in a short period of time.
So I guess the point there is that, yes, there's more work to producing a two-hour show, but it's also, there's a different kind of challenge in producing a one-hour show.
Totally.
Like it's not necessarily this straight line, this linear line of difficulty
no.
versus time. Like
they both have their challenges, yeah. you know. But I love 2 hours. 2 hours is great. Please leave us with 2 hours forever, Joey, please. Like, if you're listening to this, it's so important. And then now this year being on the Community Radio Network as well.
And we also won an award.
And we won an award in the middle of all that. That was exciting. The CBAA Award for Excellence in Innovative...
Programming and Directing.
Programming and Content or something.
Excellence
in Innovative Programming and Content. I'm pretty sure that it was. and that's because our show does things that other shows don't do, in the sense that we don't just sit and talk all the time. We actually have a lot of fun shows that really tap into the medium of radio, where we play audio, and video games have some great audio, you mm-hmm. know, like great soundtracks and like quotable quotes and sound effects that are iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And the trivia episode last year is one of the episodes we submitted for our application for the award as well, because I knew it's like, this is a fun example of what we do, what we love to do, which is taking this media platform and giving it life on radio. And so shows like that, like your trivia, like the Game of the Year episodes that we do, even just weaving in video game related bits and pieces and sound effects throughout our shows that we do, it's really unique. And I was really stoked we won that award. Just showed that the work, it was the first time we'd even submitted a nomination for the award.
Yeah.
And to win straight away, it was really nice.
Yeah. So far, yeah. we've won every award we've applied for.
That's
100%
true.
Success 100% rate.
Success rate, exactly. Yeah, and of course, winning the award then prompted CRN, the Community Radio Network, to basically headhunt me. Like the team there basically emailed me and was like, we want you.
Are we allowed to talk about your further involvement with CRN now?
Oh, that I'm a judge? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
So the CBAA
is...
it's fine. I can talk about it. The CBAAs are on again this year, and I've been asked to be a judge in the award categories because Checkpoint won last year, and because our show's continued that level of quality, and because we're on CRN as well. So we're this nationally syndicated show now, and they value me, but the team, as this important voice in community radio.
I mean, you've been doing community radio for a while now.
It's almost 7 years from
now.
So I am the old man of the team, for sure. And I was thinking the other day, like, am I going to do this when I'm 40, like in 7 more years? You know, like, is that going to still be happening? Probably, because I love this so much. You have to drag me away kicking and screaming, like, you're done, old man. I'm like, no.
We've just got to wait for you to get old enough that your views become problematic.
Some would argue they already are problematic in some ways, but you're right. When I get to that point where I'm a boomer and I'm like, I hate trans people, then like maybe then. JK Rowling. But no, it's fine. I love what we do. I love our team. I love you, Elliot.
Aww, I love you, Luke.
You know, we just have so much fun doing this as well. It has its stressful moments for sure, but it's also when we're in this studio and we're here on the day. For me, it's like my absolute happy place.
Yeah.
Everything else in the world falls away when I'm doing this show, whether it's COVID or protests and shit that happens in the world that's so horrible. When you're in this room and you're broadcasting for that 2 hours a week, it's just like pure happiness and joy. Joy. and it always makes sense, and it's my happy place. I'm glad that we get to do this, and I get to do it with my friends as well, that we get to make great radio, have these great relationships, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the next 6 years and beyond
look like. Like, who knows where we go from here, and it's like, it's crazy to think how far it has come from its humble beginnings, and that's a lot of credit to you, Luke, and all the people who've worked alongside you, and what Checkpoint is now, and like looking into the future at the potential of what it could be. Like, there's always room to grow and expand and continue. And like, as part of that is really daunting. It's like this fear of at what point are we overworking ourselves? Because I mean, we put a lot of effort into this thing. Yeah.
And mentioned before, like, you know, when I said I initially was going to do it by myself, and you were like, "What, by yourself?" And it's like, yeah, but it wouldn't have been what it is now. 6 years ago, you know, like what it is now is it's grown so much. And that's because of all the people that are supporting me and supporting each other through this whole journey. You know, this isn't a one person show. This is like we all contribute on so many different ways.
Yeah.
And we step in when someone can't do something or they're busy or life gets in the way. I went to Europe for 2 months, you know, and you and Cam and, you know, Cam's another voice who became so instrumental in the show, and even Edie now, who's still with us, of course, Colby and many others, and Jack, who's relatively new. Yeah, it's just, it's great that we have all these voices that have stuck around for so long and who have helped build this. And I like to think they can claim some of this success as well. It's not just me. It's all of us working really hard. And, you know, we get featured in trailers and advertising and marketing, and we get great access to things. We get fantastic interviews. We have people that recognize our voices on the PAX show floor and know who we are and know who all of us are. Not just like, oh, I know you, but like, oh, I love Edie. She's my favorite. Or, oh, that Cam guy is really aggressive. Like, whatever.
Really aggressive.
Because he is sometimes. We love him for that. But, you know, I love that. I love that, you know, we're this known entity in the gaming industry of Australia now. And that's really special. And that's testament to everyone that's ever touched Checkpoint in some creative way.
Touch us.
Intimate.
I guess we should leave things there.
Yeah, I could reminisce for hours. So I know. I'll save you the time for that.
But it has been really fun reminiscing and kind of recapping the last 6 years. It is our sixth birthday, obviously, at Checkpoint. It's really exciting to think about what happens in year seven. Well, I guess, is this year six? How does time work?
No, this will be year seven that we're entering into now.
I was right the first time.
You were.
Doubted myself. Now I look like a fool.
You're back yourself.
So it is really exciting to think about what we can achieve in year seven and beyond.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. We'll do another retrospective a year from now.
Probably.
We'll see where we're at. But, Luke, thank you for joining me on the show and also for, you know, starting Checkpoint and allowing this to flourish to the point that it's at now.
Of course.
My name has been Elliot, and of course join us next week because there will be more intimate goodness coming up.
Oh yeah.
We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.